Blog Talk Radio.
Why don't you ask me what it feels like to be a freak?
Oh,
ERN presents TNT on BTR with your hosts, Chaotic Katie, the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, and Sadistic Sean David. Strap in, wrestling fans, and get ready, because it's TNT and it's dynamite!
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another loaded edition of Rampage Rants Thursday Night Turmoil here on the Evolution Radio Evolution Radio Network. Excuse me. We are live and exclusively live on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what's going on with the weather. My voice has been cracking. I needed to get some hot tea or coffee before we began this program tonight, but was not able to do that. So we're just going to go with it. I don't know what's going on. My voice feels fine. It's just cracking all over the place. I feel like a teenage boy going through puberty again.
Ha ha. I can't wait to hear that. Oh, fuck, Sean.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, for those of you that were not with us on Sunday, we did bring you a special edition Sunday Night Slam Rampage Rants Sunday Night Slam. You know what? Sunday works for everybody. Sunday is a day that there's not really going a lot going on. Sometimes there's a pay-per-view. Sometimes there's not. So that's kind of what's going on here. Katie, let's tell everybody about tonight and who we are.
I'm unmuted.
He's Sadistic.
Wait. No. I'm going to introduce you. You're going to introduce me. Let's be cool.
He is the
Sadistic one. Sadistic Sean David. The rageful one.
Yes. And she is the reason why this show could never, ever be a bag of dicks. She is the one and only Chaotic Katie. And we are waiting on the arrival of someone.
I'm going to get you.
You know, there's just a lot going on in the world of wrestling ever since the last time that we talked. We want to give everybody an update real quick here on Wrestling Authority Radio. And we are going to be bringing you Wrestling Authority Radio for the next 2 weeks. Katie, if you would just hold tight for 1 second, take control of this program.
Oh, God, I hate when he does this because I'm no good at this. You suck. Hey, it's been an eventful week so far, folks, and Sean and I will get into that when we get here. I suck. So, yeah, I suck. Now, I bounce better off of people. That's why I can do good interviews, because I can bounce. You know, you say something, I can say something back. But doing it like this, it's like, oh, damn, I don't know how people do this. I don't know how. Sure, I can talk. Yeah, I can talk. Yeah, I have my own thoughts and whatnot, but I'm better if you say, hey, did you see this? And then I can tell
sorry,
you what I thought.
Sorry,
thought.
Sorry.
You're
about,
an asshole.
Sorry about, sorry
I,
about
I
that.
I just bounced around.
I am
just,
sending
I just
mom
told
for,
I'm better.
Mom
I just told
just,
them that I'm better. Shut up. I just told them that I'm better off with you than alone.
Well, Mom just got home from work, so I sent her up to Dunkin' Donuts to get me some hot coffee, try to loosen up these pipes that I've got.
Tea.
I don't know what's good.
No. Tea, lemon, honey.
Well,
repeat.
I have some cough drops that I've been sucking on. I haven't been sucking. Well, I'm not even going to say that. Anyway, we were
sucking. Tea sucking.
Yeah.
Spit, don't swallow.
Well, you know, that, never
well,
mind.
Swallow, don't spit. Never, never, never bite when your mouth is full. Never eat yellow. Oh, I don't know.
So anyway, while we wait on this, we are going to hear Jim Cornette talk about the guy that's probably going away from WWE very soon.
Oh, my.
Kevin Dunn.
Really? Kevin Owens is going.
Kevin Dunn.
Okay, Kevin Dunn. I know Kev. I know that name. All right. I'm screwed.
But I made sure I was at WrestleMania. And I had lost like about 140 pounds the time WrestleMania had rolled around. But they saved my life. And I say they, basically, who's they? They is McMahon and Company.
Yeah, it's always, who's they?
So,
explain
yeah.
they.
Jimmy, you understand what I'm talking about. But kind of, if you're talking to Vince or somebody in the office and you say, well, they told me to, who's they? It's always they. Don't ever say they. You know, say who it is, like Kevin Dunn. Just say they, you know. I don't know why Kevin Dunn never got sued for, right now, now girls out there, please, listen to me. You know, see, if you heard him in that truck, all the stuff that he says on the headsets.
And I can't understand
and
him
how he
because
treats,
he's coming through those big front keys
how
on
he
that
treats,
ugly face of
how
him.
He treats. I've been wanting to get this off my chest for so many years.
Preach, brother, preach.
Oh, glory. Kevin Dunn, I hate you. And you hate me. Vince wanted me, as part of that gorilla position shit, he wanted me to go out to the ring truck and learn their part of the ring truck, too. That way I would know what was going on when I was trying to hook the ring and the ring truck together. Kevin Dunn didn't want me in that ring truck. He would always have a damn excuse why I couldn't go in that sacred tabernacle, the holy ring truck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Hell
put your
no.
hands on the radio.
This was first. You've been out in the ring truck yet?
You know why it was? It was because you might say the word wrestling
production
in conjunction
truck.
With a wrestling show. You might utter that dirty, filthy, obscene word wrestling that he hates so much, despite the fact that every penny Kevin Dunn has made, and there are a lot of pennies in that job, by the way, and all the money that's bought his house and all the money that supports his family is made from the wrestling business. He refuses to admit he's in it and tries to impart into his employees a hatred of anything involving professional wrestling because he is embarrassed because he thinks that one of these days he'll win a television Emmy as a big major television producer when in fact, as a television producer, he'd make a better television repairman. But not that I really thought about that at all. But anyway,
I feel like I've just lost 30 more pounds. I've been harboring this hate. And seriously, I swear, Jimmy, I swear, and you know me. I can't.
You don't hate a lot of people.
No, I don't.
But when you do it well.
Exactly. And I swear, I can't sit here and name probably people, on one hand, the people that I truly hate or had heat with in the business, and I've always hated Kevin Dunn. And obviously he hated me.
He's one of the biggest enemies of professional wrestling that the folks don't even know about because of his influence involved with the television. He's one of the biggest enemies of professional wrestling and wrestling fans that exists anywhere because he is embarrassed by being involved in wrestling, and so he chooses to pretend that he is not in the wrestling business and doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And if you say the word wrestling on his program, he'll make you go back and redo it.
And I know that.
Even though it ain't ballet, and it's not the Harlem Globetrotters.
And he was a thorn in my side there.
Yeah, pain in my ass.
Exactly. It was a little bit lower. But when they done the Tough Enough deal, you know, the Tough Enough reality show thing that they
well, that was...
He was in charge of all that.
Yeah, Kevin pushed that.
Did
on the
you
idea
ever
that say... That would cause people to know that somebody off the street can become a great superstar wrestler in no time because it doesn't take any effort.
But they had the, you know, people established talent on the show, you know, this and that. You know, like Bob Holly kicking somebody's ass or something like that. But did you ever see a manager that had been in with the company for 12, 13 plus years on that show? We can't hear preaching on there, you know. Kevin Dunn.
Well, here's another problem. You're from the South.
Yeah.
See, that's why that Jim Ross and I were a bad announce team. Yes. Because even though everybody said that we were the best team maybe that they'd ever had do superstars, or that we did a wonderful job on so-and-so, we're both from the South. And we have these pronounced Southern accents. You know, both JR and I do. Now, if you're watching in Maine, maybe yes, but there are other people except those people involved in New York City, Kevin. And so JR and I couldn't be an announced team because we were too Southern.
Right.
Have you ever heard of anybody saying you're too Minnesotan?
No.
You're too Floridian?
Or too fat? But anyway, I here I go. I use that. I'm just taking that word again. Blessed, you know. I'm lucky that I didn't have a lot of heat with a lot of people in the business, and I'm proud to talk about the few that I did. And Kevin Dunn is one that a lot of people didn't know about. It was kind of a.
Well, actually, the thing is, he is nobody. Nobody knows who he is. He's just a dangerous behind-the-scenes influence, forcing wrestling out of the picture and forcing bogus horseshit, bullshit, sports entertainment, and tough-enoughs, and diva searches, and strippers with big fake tatas, and all that stuff that you don't like seeing on the show. Kevin Dunn loves it because it takes him out of wrestling into the real world. Now, Kevin, you can become a real boy. I hated him. Hated him. I fought with him all my life. Hated him ever since I've known him. He hates me. I hate him. Can't explain it to you enough. Love talking about it now.
I resemble that remark. Yeah, you know, absolutely. And earlier I said that...
He would knock your work when he didn't have a clue of a wrist lock from a wristwatch. And he would knock your work.
I said, as long as there's an Undertaker and a Kane character, there's always a possibility for Paul Bearer to make a comeback one day. But after this, I don't think so.
Well, there's always a possibility for a truck to run over Kevin Dunn, and we'd all be...
Exactly. Come on down the Mobile Horn. Come on down. I'll make you get an egg.
Let him stop in Louisville first. There might not be... He wouldn't have them big teeth to eat them grits and eggs.
We'll see him down there, and he can gum some grits.
We've got to send him a copy of this. This is going far and beyond entertainment now, and it's just actually making...
Well, that was the late Paul Bearer and Jim Cornette on Kevin Dunn. And we are still going to continue to wait on the arrival of our other co-host. Hopefully he will be able to get in this evening. But we have waited long enough. Katie, we got some breaking news.
Yeah?
Yes, ma'am. It seems that the makers of StarCast are at it again.
Mm-hmm. What are they doing?
Well, because we know he helped David Crockett get the rights back to Jim Crockett Promotions, right? Well,
okay.
Now Conrad Thompson's StarCast has filed a trademark for Southwest Championship Wrestling, which was the wrestling promotion owned by Joe Blanchard and run out of San Antonio from 1978 to 1985.
Wow.
And with the next StarCast going to be being done down in San Antonio, many are saying that they will try to do that under the Southwest Championship Wrestling banner.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting. More news coming out of Ric Flair's last match. He reveals he passed out twice during the match.
Oh, my. Oh, shit.
Because of dehydration.
Oh, my God. Always keep yourself hydrated. They say that drink some water before you leave the house, go outside, and you'll be okay. But, oh, my God, because of dehydration. Wow. He is getting older, but, I mean, like, yeah, get some Gatorade into you, too. I use Gatorade. Water's okay, but Gatorade is better. Gives you everything you need.
Yes.
So.
Water, water, do.
Water. Well, we will talk I drink all the water, people. I drink I drink at least a case a week, my own self, okay? Sometimes a week and a half, depends on how hot it's been. And it's been hot, so that's what, 3.5 bottles a day and into the night. So it's like, yeah, drink your damn water, okay? Drink your water. It's nothing more simple than that. Drink your water or your Gatorade, or if you want to put flavor in your water, I don't give a shit, drink your damn water. You're going to pass out. I've done it. I'd be sick in the sun. I do. I'm sick in the sun, so I stay in the shade. I'm a ginger kid with tissue paper skin. I burn up in the sun. I know better, and if you've even had it happen once, you should learn your lesson the first time.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. All right. We have more breaking news. So I got to load this clip because we got to pay tribute here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. We want to send our well wishes to combat sports pioneer Jean LaBelle, who has passed away at the age of 89.
Oh, my. That's sad. Oh. Yeah. Oh. See, every time we do the 10th bell, it reminds me of the old man because he would call me, let me know who passed, and then he'd tell me I got to call everybody else.
So right. Not only that's Jean LaBelle was a wrestler. His last match was against The Rock's grandfather, the great Peter Maivia, under the NWA Hollywood banner in 1981.
Wow.
I was not. We have another wrestler death, Mike Jones.
Oh, man.
Let me get this. I just got an update from Crimey, so I had to click away from it to get his update and then click back. Mike Rocky Jones Masters has passed away at the age of 68 after a long, lengthy battle with throat cancer. A wrestler and a promoter founding East Coast Pro Wrestling with Gino Caruso. He is credited for giving Little Guido and Kodiak Bear, among others, their start in the ring. His biggest match was against Steve Kane's old friend Ken Patera for the WWE Intercontinental Championship in October of 1979.
Wow, that's saying something. That's saying a lot. Ken Patera? Saying a lot.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you were blessed enough to watch Ken Patera in the WWE, but I was. I was a little too over muscular for me. I don't like him that muscular, but yeah, great talent. You know, a thinking man's wrestler, and ground and pound you to the mat. That's what I remember.
We've got more news that we're getting momentarily.
Okay.
And
bring him on air. If it's coming from Crimey, bring Crimey on air.
Crimey is not with us.
Oh, damn it. Do I have to message the freaking group? Oh, my goodness. ERN.
All right.
That ERN chat.
Well, Crimey, that's definitely going to
call it.
Allow
there
me to talk a little better, but that
yeah,
not having some
good
flavoring is going to be the All right. Chris Dickinson is suing ex-girlfriends over allegations of abusive conduct and defamation.
Oh, man. Come on. Oh, my goodness.
Well, this is ongoing. here. And then we have some more news that we brought you on Sunday. So the Maniac Scott Matthews is heading to trial on September 19th.
Okay.
So we will keep you updated on that as far as his misconduct as well. Boy, there's just so much going on. Katie, we know what happened at SmackDown on Friday. We got a return of a certain man.
Oh, my goodness. See, my head is blown, okay? You got to talk to me that day about it, you know? But if you start talking about it, it'll all come back to me. So
Karrion Kross.
Yeah. Haha, tribal queen. Oh, my goodness. I truly hope that he comes and shows his talent and stays.
And, you know, Karrion did not get the first real chance that he should have had at the beginning of everything. But he's getting it now thanks to Triple H. It's probably the first smart move that we're going to see Triple H make in a long list of moves that Triple H will be making in order to revive the WWE and breathe some fresh life back into that product. So I am very excited for that. I'm excited to see what happens with that because there's we talked on Sunday Night Slam that there is a lot of speculation that they are going to do everything in their power to get Bray Wyatt back. They're going to do everything in their power to get the big talent back that Vince let go.
Yeah, I agree, especially with Bray Wyatt. The way they ended it, you know, with Alexa Bliss getting all the black goop coming out of her and him looking up at her and the lights go out and that was it and that's all we've heard. Okay, and now Alexa Bliss, they didn't even talk about it. Sure, she's got her little doll that she still talks to, but other than that, you know, they just totally dropped everything that was going on, everything. She's now back to little punk rock princess, normal girl, you know, she's not evil anymore. She's changed her music, she's changed her clothes back, she's changed her hair back, she still has the doll, but, you know, like, what's going on? Why? Why, Vince? Why? Okay, Trip, fix this shit. Get Bray back. I don't care what you do. If you want to bring Alexa Bliss back, who gives a shit? I just want Bray Wyatt back and the Playhouse. That's the long and the short of it. Bring them back. Black, red and black attack. Okay?
There is also rumors and speculation that Raw is going to be going back to 2 hours instead of three.
Oh, good. Every week it's a pay-per-view. It would be so nice if Raw goes back to 2 hours. The damn pay-per-view every damn week, man. And I have to sit there. And I have to remember everything, people. I can't remember everything. You know, I'm going to have to start relying on results like Sean when Sean doesn't have the time to watch it.
Well, that's what that's what the good old Google machine is for. You know, there's a lot that I want to talk about tonight, and there's some stuff I wanted to talk about with Finn. I don't know that he's going to make it to this program tonight. We will try him again in hour two to see if we can make something happen. But we have some other news that we got. If you have been watching Dark Side of the 90s on Vice, which is a great program out of Canada, got to give the credit where it's due.
You're welcome. Okay. Oh, crap. I want Primey to call in. Okay, unless you have an address and need something. Okay, give Primey something to call in. He's leaving town in the morning, but he'll come in.
Yes, I know. He's got another gaming tournament. Crime Fighter, I know you're listening. You've got it on in the background while you're getting ready. So I want to break this news real quick, and then we'll go into one of my shit lists for the night. From the executive producers of Dark Side of the Ring, we have gotten the announcement of a new show that they are going to be doing. But this time it's going to be different. You are going to get Danny Garcia and company and The Rock teaming with the creators of Dark Side of the Ring to bring you Tales from the Territories.
Oh, Vice Tales from the Territories? Oh, my. That's a kid.
My problem already is this. In their hype video, we have Abdullah the Butcher. And I had to explain this to Sin, and I'm going to explain this right now. It's because Abdullah, when things happened to Brody, Abdullah bought into Carlos Colon's company. It's why he was such a big star over there. Same way Brody was a star over there. I don't know that I'd have him as a part of it. I would have done everything to avoid that. But other than that, I'm willing to give this a fair shake. The one thing that I think that The Rock can do more than anybody else is be able to mend these bonds that have been broken with the creators of Dark Side of the Ring and people like Jim Ross or other people where things have been edited in the past that have been maybe not put those people in the best light. And look, the comments that Tommy Dreamer and others made about the infamous plane ride from hell were inappropriate, but it does make you wonder if JR is saying that they edited things to make him look bad, was the same done with some of the other talent? We love Dark Side of the Ring. The old man loved Dark Side of the Ring. He would have loved this Tales from the Territories.
But it
needs to be done right. It cannot be nothing but non-factual information. Because we have seen with the Rock show, Young Rock, that they have sold to one of the networks, not all that bad information is factual if you Google it.
Okay. So basically, you're telling me the Ross is the same thing as Glow, scripted.
Yes.
So he didn't really go to a movie with Andre. That's what I want to know. You know, like
I'm not
Andre
saying
didn't
that.
Babysitter.
I'm saying they have really, because Cornette's out of this. They have really kind of blurred the lines in what they are doing, and some of the factual information and some of the non-factual information. And ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, he is finally here. He made it. Test your mic, please.
Well, it's Mel testing the mic. Can you hear?
Yes. Hi, Mel.
Hi, Mel. Hold on.
Hi.
Mel, hold on. Mel, I'm Katie. You haven't met me yet, but I'm Katie. How you doing? I've heard about you and heard you're quite wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Katie?
Excellent. Hey, well, I'm pretty sure your man told you I beat cancer. They took my boo, but it can't stop me.
Hey, that's awesome. At least you beat it.
Yeah, sorry. Well, my ginger curls will be nice and long by next year. I'm just waiting on a breast reconstruction and whatnot and scans, and I'm good because, well, it went through my bones a little bit. So we're doing scans at the end of this month, and we'll find out. So, yeah, I just wanted to say hello with you, touch base, and let you know who
I'm
I am.
Gentle.
Yeah. Okay,
right.
Let's go.
All right, let me hand the mic over to Beans.
Yes, thank you.
Ma'am.
All right, he has finally joined us. I was starting to think that you weren't going to make it, but we want to thank Mel Storm for helping the Sultan of Slither Sin make it to the program here this evening. And Sin, we are talking about Tales from the Territories, the new show that will be coming from the creators of Dark Side of the Ring alongside of The Rock and another production company. And what I was saying was I believe that The Rock will be the one that can mend the bond between the creators of Dark Side of the Ring and people like JR that these creators have offended because of the way they've edited some of the footage that they put on Dark Side of the Ring.
How much does WWE have a hand in this? I mean, is it just The Rock? Or is Rock making deals with WWE for footage? Because once you do that, WWE gets to control the narrative.
That's what the problem is. We don't want that. We all know that WWE is responsible for killing the territories. We do not want them controlling that narrative. I am going to say that based on the footage that I've seen of it, this is a Rock project. This is solely like The Rock and these people.
I hope so.
Which is good, but it was like I was telling Katie, we have to be careful about that because some of the narrative that they've spun off on the Young Rock is not factual to history. If you go back and Google some of the events that have been on Young Rock, it doesn't line up with what the record book actually shows. And that's the thing about wrestling a lot of people don't realize is if you can find the results, you got to search for them sometimes. The other thing that we broke here before you got here was the news that Conrad Thompson, SaveWithConrad.com, for the next StarCast, he is trademarked Southwest Championship Wrestling. Out of San Antonio. So,
wake up.
So what I believe that means, Sin, is we know that Conrad gave the rights of Jim Crockett Promotions back to David Crockett. If he's got the trademarks now to Southwest, he's going to hand these probably. Is there another Blanchard other than Tully that this could be handed off to is my question.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sure as hell can't hand it off to Tessa. Nope.
Finn, what are your thoughts on Southwest? Uh-oh, I think he might have muted himself. And he dropped. Hopefully he will get back in.
Typing, where'd you go?
So Tales from the Territory is going to be a great thing. On Vice. And somebody has got a TV in the background, and oh, God, I did not mean to close that.
There, is that better?
Yes, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. No worries.
We're going to get back on the Facebook. I accidentally closed the studio. I was trying to clean up my browser to make sure I didn't have background feedback coming in. Hopefully, Sin will get back with us. I'm going to take another sip of this lovely latte that I've got that I just added some sugar to so it's not so bitter. I'm actually starting to sound better. I don't know what's going on. And like I said, I don't ever – you can ask Katie. In the 9 years that we've done this show, I don't know that I've ever gotten sick once.
Nope.
To the point where I'm like, I can't do it.
It's usually me that sounds like sandpaper just because of my allergies. And yeah, so I mean, right now I don't need any allergy pills, but when I do, I will have them. But yeah, I was losing my voice left, right, and center, sometimes almost every show in the summer. And then I'd have a week to recoup and hopefully be able to do the show. And it would be mostly Sean. Oh, my God, your damn voice. Oh. Yeah, but I did. For anybody who watched the Brady Bunch as a kid, I sounded like Peter Brady going through puberty. The voice was cracking in and out. It was terrible. Just terrible.
Yes. All right. Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and bump up our song break here. So I can hopefully figure out what the issue is and try to get him dialed back in so we can roll an hour two. Roll on two. What do I want to play?
I don't know. I'm not there.
All right, we'll play this.
Attention, feel this Saturday night at the Northeast Philly International Guard Armory. Craptastic Wrestling presents a non-star-studded car of unexplainable matches featuring the Mid-Afternoon Express versus Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy in a Falls Count Nowhere match. Jerry Idol versus Austin Lawler in a fully empty arena match. Our main event, Arnold Ziffel Jr. versus Oliver Wendell Douglas IV in a Fans Bring the Steel Cage Parts match. Admission is just $1, because that's all this crap is worth. That's Craptastic Wrestling this Saturday. Doors open at 6 p.m. Matches start whenever we feel like it. Be there!
Be there!
Hi, this is Chance Prophet. You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Roundtable on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, and we are back from outer space.
Yay!
I was hoping you were going to continue where I left off, but anyway, I am
I was, but I didn't know that you were not going to start talking right away. Sorry.
I am.
And
Sean
back
David.
From out of state. Hey, he's Statistics Sean David, and I'm Chaotic Katie, the reason why this show's not a bag of dicks. Welcome back, folks.
Yes. Yes. You know what time it is, Katie?
8:16. What is it, time for the show?
Yes, ma'am. Well, Katie, what do you think we should talk about now?
Oh no, you got a shit list prepared. I'm at a loss. I'm not caffeinated.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I decided not to caffeinate today. Don't ask me why. I just didn't.
Well,
just didn't.
You know, sometimes you.
I'm not mentally alert.
You know, you sometimes suck there, Flanders. All right, he is back. Test one,
yay.
Two, hello, Sin.
I don't know. My internet's being a bag of dicks today.
So,
well,
that's what. Why do you think, okay, it don't matter. My internet's doing good. Everything's running right. It doesn't matter. That's why I use my phone, because if I don't, take the big crap and then nothing works, and I have to use my phone anyway, so it's
well,
screw it, I'm using my phone.
With my phone, the mic sucks so bad on it, I have to
yeah.
put the phone, like, right up to my face. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. All right,
that's,
well, we are all here now. So, to bring you up to date, Sin, Conrad Thompson has filed the trademark. He will be running under the Southwest Championship Wrestling banner for the next StarCast, which is slated to be in San Antonio. We know that he gave the rights to Jim Crockett Promotions back to David Crockett. If he's going to take this on with Southwest, which was Joe Blanchard's company, my question became, who else could he give the rights to other than Tully? Because we know Tully's getting up there in age too.
Yeah, good point. I don't know, but the next event in Texas will be big if they use the Von Erichs again. That'll go over like wildfire.
You know, I have heard so much bad, but, you know, you go back and watch their matches and you just realize that was a group of guys that had they come along a little bit later, just a few years later, I'm talking about a 1995, they would have been it. You think about the matches that one of those Von Erich boys could have had with a Bret Hart when Bret Hart was the champion in the WWF.
Well, Terry had the chance, but they released him.
there, there were a lot of problems. If you are a listener of podcasts, I suggest checking out Jeff Jarrett's. He talks about when his dad bought out World Class, and it was not a pretty situation.
Yeah. Wow.
We were also talking about Tales from the Territories, which will be coming to Vice in October. And I made the statement that I do not want them editing things the way they did with Dark Side of the Ring and lose people like a Jim Ross again. The Rock could mend that fence mm-hmm. between the creators of Dark Side of the Ring and a Jim Ross, but they have to, they really have to watch their P's and Q's. I explained why Abby's going to be on it, because Abby, when Brody was killed, if Abby did not have a stake in Carlos Colon's company at that point, he bought in shortly after Brody died. He is going to be a part of that. I don't know that I agree with that decision. Yes, Abby is a respected name, but what he did, we can't ever forget. When you knowingly infected a worker that you're working with hepatitis C. And
I remember that.
Then the guy drags you to court and wins, and you're still claiming that, you know, that didn't come from you. I don't know.
Yeah.
That doesn't look good.
Yeah. No, it doesn't look good.
And there's always blood in Abdullah the Butcher matches.
You and I talked about this last night. You're like, man, if Big Daddy would have paid me like $200 to work Abby, I think I would have been okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I was like, it'd have to be somewhere I've worked before and I know the people and, you know, I know I'm going to get my money because, you know, there was no way 10, 15 years ago even you're going to get me in the ring with Abdullah the Butcher without paying me at least a couple hundred bucks, you know.
He's going to fork me.
Well, yeah, you know you're going to get gigged with a fork for one the hard way, which is never fun. I've worked in the ring with guys with hepatitis before, but, you know, we didn't blade or anything. You know what I mean? So I felt safe in the situation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then the other news that I broke is being rumored at this time that Triple H's next move in terms of reformatting Monday Night Raw is to bring it back to 2 hours live instead of three.
That would be good. It's a good thing to do.
Get the audience back to the point where less is more instead of more is less.
Yep. I agree, because I'm sorry, that takes up a whole entire night. Some people are still eating dinner at that time, depending on what your time schedule is and where the heck you are. You know, like you're still eating, and mom won't let the kids away from the table while they're still eating unless she's nice and lets them eat at the TV. Okay, there's part of your watchers right there, parents and the kids. Like me, I watch the time, make sure I'm able to watch it. It's been hard to watch lately. I've had to watch online. I didn't watch it this week. I was just like, you know what? I'm fed up. I'm not feeling it. Screw it. But I did watch Friday.
I did want to watch WWE the last two shows because I like the direction they've been going in, and I just fell a little bit behind. But SummerSlam and the following Raw were both really good. I thought Triple H really stepped it up.
I was impressed.
And then we talked about it Sunday here on the program. Karrion Kross and Scarlett are back.
Yep.
And what was a major first move in the right direction by Triple H, the former Hunter Hearst Helmsley. We talked about other names that are rumored to be returning. They are working with Bray Wyatt. They are trying to get as many people that Vince let go during this period that Vince went crazy.
You saw the Twitter Wyatt put up, right?
I did.
About being elite.
He's teasing either way, because here's the thing. We know that AEW has got a pay-per-view coming up. We're going to talk about that in just a little while. Their lack of a real big build to this pay-per-view, it just feels really lackluster to me. We'll talk about my reasoning for that in a little bit. But, yes, we are getting ready to see the WWE go through a seismic shift that we have never seen the likes of before. Because now that this thing is in the full control of Triple H, you're going to see shit that you haven't seen. We're already seeing it. They're allowing the guys to be called wrestlers, and it's called wrestling again. Kevin Dunn must be in the back having a stroke.
I bet.
You know, he always used to tell Jim Cornette, "Well, Jim, we're not a wrestling company. We're an entertainment company." Then why the fuck is the name of the company World Wrestling Federation?
Yeah. World Wrestling Entertainment. They're both.
Right. Right.
Yep.
So, all right. Well, now it's time to get into this because he was not with us Sunday to share any news on this, and I'm not going to have him dig hole for himself, but I'm sure he's got some things to say about the situation that we addressed on Sunday with him going to a local independent show here. And then there was some news that I broke with him last night after he left from watching AEW that we're going to talk about a little bit too. So, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up. Well, come on.
All right.
Chip, you know what? You just made the list.
Oh, no.
Oh, here we go.
Sin, I said my piece on it with Katie on Sunday. I will let you tell it from your perspective, and then Katie and I will chime in.
Which exact thing do you want me to start with?
What happened when you tried to go to an event here a couple weeks ago locally?
Oh, in Streeter. Yeah, I went to a Streeter show. I was going to try to get an interview with Rhino, talk to him for the Wicked Wrestling Alliance page. And basically the comic book guy who promotes the shows didn't know who I was, didn't know who you were or anything. But the guy running the event, Beast wasn't there either, so this has nothing to do with Beast. None of the talent was there, you know, other than Rhino and a couple of guys. And I'm assuming it's the promoter didn't want me to be at, you know, doing any coverage of the show because of my affiliation with you on this program. I've contacted him since. I've talked to him. I'm like, hey, we work together on a program. You know, it isn't like every single view and every single thing we do is linked. You know, I'm a different person. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean I'm going to come here and then just get on the airwaves and just say you are all horrible and all this. You know, I'm going to give it a fair shot. You know what I mean? And so at the end of the month, he's having a show, and I will be going to that one. And I'll know a little more then.
Only problem I had is, like, what, you don't like money?
See, and that's what's said, because I have the feeling he's the guy putting in all the money, and you know, you've got a promoter that doesn't really know me, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
I mean, kind of taking something out on me that wasn't really
about
had nothing to it had nothing to do with me. You know what I mean?
Guilty
by
association.
Yeah, so I just simply I sent him a text. I said, "Hey, dude, you know we do this show on Thursday nights. It isn't like I'm going to stop doing that, but you know, with Wicked Wrestling and with Rampage, if there's something I like, I'll point it out too. You know, I'm not just considering the whole show was crap and this happened and this happened and this happened. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because let's face it, we've all been to our fair share of independent shows, and some do go perfectly smooth. But on a lot of shows, you might have one or two dud matches that happen. You know, it happens. So, you know, it's just I'm going to be as neutral as I can be once after I go to this event at the end of the month and see how it goes. You know what I mean?
You'll let us know, of course.
Yeah, you know, in all fairness, I don't know much about this guy myself either. You know what I mean? All I really know much about the company, I think they announced Beast will be doing the training school for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's about as much as I know. You know, I don't, I've never met the actual promoter. I met the money backer for the first time when I was there just last time, so... So, you know, it is what it is.
I understand.
And I'll see what it is. You know what I mean?
No, I see your point of view. My big thing was, okay, why are you working with Beast? Blah, blah, blah. We all know why I hate Beast, why Sean hates Beast, and some others hate Beast. So we don't need to go right into that. He's a 8-pound goose, and that's the long and short of it. But I mean, my only problem with the company was you're turning people away. You don't like money. You don't like asses in seats. You don't like word of mouth. Like, I don't understand, you know, well, what if I were to go there? Because, I mean, what? You're asking, I mean, crap, you're going to start asking people their first and last name so you can look on Facebook to see who they're friends with? Is that what's going to come next? Like... people are going to behave when they're in public at an event, okay? They're not going to cause trouble for your event. And if they do, obviously they're going to be removed. Now,
yeah,
you're not
like
there to do
that.
Yeah, you weren't there to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you weren't there to do that. You were there to see a show, long and short of it.
Yeah, and even offer money to pay Rhino if he would have been willing to do a interview segment. You know what I mean? So, I mean, in a sense, Rhino kind of lost out on that, too. And they lost out on, ticket sales because I paid to get in. You know, I had no problem with that.
Well, and then I had to be the bearer of bad news and actually come here on Sunday and talk about it. You know, I don't have a problem with you going. I want to make that point abundantly clear right now. I don't have a problem with him and Mel. You know, him and Mel are grown adults. Mm-hmm. They broke me into the business. Mm-hmm. They're going to do what they want to do time and time again. They've done that when I had a falling out with Big Daddy back in the day. They stayed and they got used and they got paid. And that's fine. It's business.
You also got to realize my whole history in wrestling as a performer and where I was trained really is PWX is its own thing now, or it's trying to be, but it was Powerhouse Championship Wrestling. And I was trained at the House of Pain. There's a lot of history with me in this company. And I just hate to see that go to waste. You know what I mean?
Right. My problem, and I want to make this abundantly clear now, is I don't believe, I would not bank on Beast as a head trainer. I don't agree with that. You can take that however you want to take that.
I would pick somebody that's more technically sound. He's a bigger guy that works a big guy style.
Okay, I'm gonna ask a question as somebody looking from outside the window here. Can the man train? Is he good? Is he competent?
He's trained guys before, I've heard. I've never been in the ring with any of them. I've been in the ring with Beast. He's a little snug, but, you know, not as snug as, like, say, Milo and I. Milo and I would get the piss out of each other. Snug? He lays stuff in the ring. I know he beat up Wild Child pretty big one show on Tim's orders.
Right. You know, it's not that I don't think that he, it's not that even I think he's a horrible performer. It's, you got to remember, this is somebody that I worked with back in 2009. And you're talking, it is now 2022, which means that age has caught up with him, time. He's always been a bigger guy. From what I was told, he lost some weight. I don't know if that's factual or not. He may have lost some, but I would not. Yes, I get he's an old timer. I get it. I get that, and I appreciate that. There is still a little bit of admiration and respect for him in that regard, just not because of his actions in other regards. But I would not have him be my head trainer. A lot of people ask me right now.
Yeah, I'd probably question that. I mean, if it wasn't for the travel, the guy they got working for him that I've seen train guys in the ring, you know, like I've showed up at shows and he's been training them. Would definitely be Chief or Lightfoot. Yeah, not Chief, sorry, Lightfoot.
And that would be fine. Lightfoot's got a good tenure too. In terms of that, in terms
he
of
knows
else,
how to train. He knows how to train guys.
In terms of anybody else, you're not going to really find anybody else that's going to be willing to do it and not want a shit ton of money, which has always been a problem. A lot of people ask why I never had a training school, and this is why. You have to find a trainer that people actually want to train under that are going to pay to make sure that not only you're paying the guy that's doing the training, but you can pay to keep the lights on in the school and heat and water and shit like that.
Yeah, I ran a training school for a short while. It's a real thing, man. I mean, it's not easy.
It also becomes finding a trainer that people want to train with. At one point, I told a lot of people if I was going to open a school, the Hooligans were going to be the head trainers. They were one of the hottest tag teams on the independents in the last decade or so. They've given it up since then. I believe one of them has got some kids now. But those are people that people would actually pay to train with. That becomes a problem with Beast as well, and it's not to discredit him at all. It's just to say that, look, we've tried this around here before with him as a head trainer.
I mean, my question is, some of the lockups and hip tosses and backdrops and, taking the flare bump off the top rope to the floor, you know, the hard way, or being brought in the hard way. How does he teach them that when he doesn't do it himself?
That's a good question.
That would be my question. Yeah. I mean, I'll talk to Beast about it, and maybe I'll get to see him do some training at some point, and, you know, it'll all come together. And in our case at Powerhouse, Tim didn't actually do a lot of the physical in-the-ring stuff with us. He trained us more on the psychology.
Didn't have anything to eat.
Whereas Brian... would do most of the in-ring training, and he was an excellent in-ring worker. So, you know, I got kind of the best of both worlds.
Right.
You all right? You going to survive, buddy?
I hope so.
I'm back.
Usually it's me that's choking up or something.
Oh, no. Finn tried the stuff that I got yesterday. It's called orange velvet something or other. It'll fucking kill you.
Oh, well, God, just... the stuff we got will kill you. I
all
said
right.
to Darren, can you please smoke me before I get on air? I don't want to be choking.
All right. Well, we've got
it's really blown into something more than it needs to be. You know what I mean? So, yeah, the whole situation's kind of silly at this point. But I'm just hoping everybody can work everything out when it's all said and done. You know what I mean? I'm not a guy that likes to burn bridges. I do make hard stands at times, but, you know, that is what it is. You know what I mean? I don't know what to tell you. Well, I guess I'll find out more at the end of the month.
Yep. I guess so.
All right. We've got some breaking news. It's your last chance to contact Mr. Frankie DeFalco from Bruce City Wrestling for tomorrow at the Elks Lodge in Waukesha, Wisconsin from 7 to 10 p.m. You can train for $100 with Bully Ray.
Waukesha.
Oh, wow.
Bully Ray.
Wow. That's A. Training with Bully Ray, that's a good school from what I've been told.
You know, he's good, too. He has his own school.
Yeah.
That's correct.
And something you can really do with Gangrel, too. Gangrel has his own school and does independent bookings.
Hey, now.
That is correct as well. All right. Well, Maniac Scott Matthews, who was trained by Joey Grunge along with Yoder, those are the two guys that are in sexual misconduct cases. Maniac Scott Matthews will stand trial on September the 14th. And we'll bring you an update on this.
Yeah, I do want to just point out, though, that even though they have been targeted, they at this point are innocent until proven guilty. I mean, we recently saw this in the NFL where somebody was, by the time it went through all the judges and stuff, they found claims to not be valid, but still gave him a 6-game suspension. And, they're not happy about that. The NFL is not. Roger Goodell is actually thinking about extending it because they found it to be more credible than a court of law did. So, you know, the law can be manipulated. So you
That's
don't
correct.
Know.
And I talked last week about the Chester Uyghur case where they had found a piece of his DNA and he was in prison for over 60 years and it sounded like that wasn't even supposed to be the way that went down.
Yeah.
After they found the evidence. So, all right, this weekend's events, Mid-Missouri Wrestling Alliance in St. Louis at the South Broadway Athletic Club on the 13th. Mid-States Wrestling in Springfield, Missouri at the Relics Event Center in Springfield, Missouri on the 13th. New Genesis Wrestling in Mason, Illinois at the Mason Civic Center on the 13th. New Wave Pro Wrestling in Terre Haute, Indiana at the West Virgo Community Center on the 13th. And then you have Southern Illinois Championship Wrestling, the current home of Curtis Wild, baby, is running the 13th. In
or as
East
I like to call him, Dub C.
In East Carondelet, Illinois at the East Carondelet Community Center. There will be a show on Saturday night and then their TV taping, which is free if you buy a ticket to Saturday night, will be Sunday the 14th with a 1 p.m. start time. And then World League Wrestling at the infamous Race Wrestling Academy in Troy, Missouri will be the 13th.
Okay.
And then, I'm not giving them the fucking, no. 8-12 and 8-13, Impact Wrestling is in Cicero, Illinois.
Ooh, that could be fun. I like Impact.
Brew City Wrestling on the 13th with Bully Ray. Folks, Brew City Wrestling has been around a very long time. I have worked and had several conversations with Frankie the Thumper DeFalco. You have a star-studded card on this night. You are going to have a no disqualification match. The Midwest Slayer, Stacy Shadows, and Dysfunction will take on Whiskey Bent and Hellbound. The Brew City Wrestling Tag Team Championships will be on the line as Caribbean Arrogance takes on Bear Kingdom. The Brew City Wrestling Heritage Championship is on the line when Salem Crane defends against Chucky Bates. Baxter Belafonte takes on Marvelous Ethan Matthews. Making his BCW debut, Kazile will take on Gunnar Wicks. And CJ Cole will take on Raven Raddick. Hoa Ming will take on Sean Priest. That's Brew City Wrestling in Waukesha. Waukesha!
Sean likes what? Yeah.
It's like
Freelance Underground will be in Thornton, Illinois. Thornton, Illinois, at the Thornton Distilling Company on the 13th. It is cash only. It is a 21 and up show. It will be streaming live on iwtv.live.com. All tickets are $25. And I believe that is going to do it for this weekend's events. Yes. So if you can make it to an event this weekend, make sure you can and get there. All right. Where do we want to go from here?
Triple H's booking as of lately in general. Did you talk extensively about that?
No, but before we do that, let's go ahead and break the breaking news for Wrestling Authority Radio on the 25th of August. Hot summer night in August.
This is a hardcore hippie, Electric Eric Freedom, and you're listening to the Graveyard Radio Network. Peace and love, baby. Peace and love.
Yes, that is right. On August the 25th, he will be back with us on Wrestling Authority Radio. He is one of the most renowned superstars in the Midwest independent wrestling scene, one of the most asked for. He is the one and only Electric Eric Freedom, the hardcore hippie himself, comes back to Wrestling Authority Radio. Him and Sin will be talking about their epic battles. Him and Sin will be talking about
steel cages,
Freedom
matches.
Freedom's promotion up in Michigan. Some of the boys that Freedom has trained that have worked all around. We're going to talk to Eric Freedom. We may have other members of his roster because they have an event that weekend up, I believe it's in Cadillac, but I could be wrong, Michigan that weekend. And, boy, it's been a while since we talked to him, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Bring up the good stuff.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Need the good stuff. Watch
no, I'm talking.
Must...
God dang.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, Triple H's booking has gotten a lot better. Karrion Kross, Scarlett back, a lot more. Told everybody it is going to be a really trying period between now and the end of the year for WWE. How fast can Triple H turn this thing around? Can he do something major with the product going into the Royal Rumble of 2023? I think yes.
I hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so as well.
Okay, is this enough time for him to do that?
I think there is.
Let's see who he can get back to.
Well, don't y'all talk at once now. Don't let me stop you.
Well, you know, I would like to see Bray Wyatt back. Naomi, oh well, Sasha Banks, she's decent. You know,
I like Naomi. Hey, Naomi's positive for women. I love Naomi. I feel like
she
love
Naomi. Reminds me of a female Hulk Hogan. She's gimmicky and just, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm more into pure wrestling.
And Shawn Michaels isn't gimmicky. You're saying, I want Bray Wyatt back. Yeah, gimmicky.
Look at how well they work in the ring, though. Bray's a great worker for his size. And Shawn is quite possibly one of the best of all time in the ring.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, Naomi has, I think, been former SmackDown champion once or twice. But,
yeah.
I mean, she's
exactly.
Like Natty. She's just kind of a working part.
Yeah, well, what about Sasha? Sasha's pretty gimmicky, too, you know? She's got her uncle Snoop Dogg back in her, you know? So
I'm just saying, I'm just saying they've got a very loaded, they have a very loaded women's division. And I even thought Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler at different times in their career were misused with the women's tag titles. I would have much rather seen them have a singles run. So I feel like they don't know what they're doing with the titles to begin with. And I don't see how Naomi or Sasha as a tag team are exciting enough to bring anything to the women's titles that, say, Sasha and Bayley didn't. Sasha and Bayley, probably the best female tag champs we've had so far in WWE, in my opinion.
I'm going to agree with you. They were really good. And, yeah, that's another thing we can talk about, too, Bayley's return.
Yeah, Bayley's return.
Yeah.
That was huge. Yeah. Triple H did it right. He brought up a couple of his girls to be at her side.
Yeah.
Give her a little faction.
And, changed Io Shirai from to Io Sky. Like, what? Dakota Kai. They just rhyme. It's like Sky, Kai, Kai, Sky.
Yeah, maybe. Shirai rhymes with Kai, though, too, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it was just too much alike, Shirai and Sky, or Shirai and Kai.
Kai.
You're maybe just too much alike. I don't know. But, you know, but either way, it's just verbiage, and, you know, I still call Austin Theory, not Theory.
He's always going to be Theory. When, I mean, and then you got Shorty. Excuse me.
He got to be
his name in the movie too.
Yeah, they fixed him, so there's still time.
Can we fix the one poor soul that they had to change under the Vince McMahon regime?
Go ahead.
Can we change Dewdrop's name back to what it was before Vince made her Dewdrop?
Oh, like her actual real working name from overseas? Yeah.
Yes.
That's crap. What in the crap?
Piper
was her
Nevins.
Name? Thank you, Piper Nevins.
Yeah, that,
I knew it
that,
started with. I was going to say Paisley.
It doesn't even
have
to
be. Wrong.
It doesn't even have to be Piper Evans, but not Dewdrop,
no.
Guys. You know, it doesn't fit.
Yeah, and the way it was dropped. So your name is Dewdrop now. What?
Yeah, I just the way they did it. It's kind of like what? But why? You know.
I mean, I understand. I understand he came up to the main roster and whatnot, but you've always been a part of the WWE. Why change your name?
Speaking of coming up to the main roster and making a difference, since Triple H is around, Ciampa.
Yeah. Oh, and Ciampa. Wait. We'll get to Ciampa in a second. What about Gunther? It used to be Gunther, and now he's Walter.
Well, I mean, you can say the same thing about Ciampa. He used to be Massa Ciampa.
Yeah, Tommaso.
Tommaso Ciampa. So, I mean, but H isn't switching that right now, and he seems to be doing fine.
And they don't say Ciampa, they say Ciampa. I'm just like, what?
Well, I mean, it looks, I guess, like that would be how it's pronounced. But,
yeah,
I mean,
get it, but no.
Through wrestling, I've always been used to hearing it being pronounced Ciampa. So that's just how I say it. That doesn't mean I'm right necessarily over anybody else. It's just, you know, what I'm used to calling them.
DeMundo.
So, you know, that is what it is. And, you know, not so hot on putting him with The Miz, but, you know, he's going to have some good matches. They're going to do some good stuff with him, and hopefully it'll be good, you know, good business in the end.
That's all we can hope for, good business out of this. I mean, literally, I feel bad for Triple H because he's got to make sense out of all this crap that Vince has created.
Well, he's getting there. You know? You can't rush that one. There's a lot of work to be done. So,
right.
I mean, that's just the way that is.
It does suck. Where do we want to go from here? We've got a lot of stuff to continue talking about.
CM Punk showing up.
Yes, that was really unexpected.
He's not here to wrestle, but they knew they had to do something for TV ratings.
Yeah, never mind that. What about Jericho tapping out to Moxley?
Not something
you see often.
So
from him.
I got a question, guys.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Yes,
do you think that ear was a blade? The ear
I'm thinking so.
Like, I don't know.
I mean,
to bleed like that.
That's what I thought. Yeah. If you got your earring pulled out and it bled that bad, you'd almost have to frickin' rip the whole earring out of the lobe to get that much blood. So he must have had a blade in his earlobe, which is just insane. Mm. I mean, can we talk about that for a minute? When you guys start playing earlobes?
It was a Jeff Hardy thing a couple years ago.
It was a what?
A Jeff Hardy thing.
Oh,
a couple
years ago. Back when he was working with Orton?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. It was kind of weird. And then I'm like, oh, finally, okay, they're Jericho bladed. I was shocked that he didn't blade in the match earlier. He likes to get that color quick.
A blade gig, you know, a blader gig, if it's necessary, it's necessary. But, I mean, and then Jericho bled like a pig last night.
I mean, I would have rather seen that match on a pay-per-view. I think that was a pay-per-view level match.
Mm-hmm.
When Jericho goes...
Hold on a second. You could have built that up so friggin' high.
Yeah. Especially coming off the angle he has with Kingston. And then Moxley really needs a villain he can sink his teeth into. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, Jericho fit that mold and they really put on a great match. I mean, I can't bitch about the match. The Lionheart, Chris Jericho. I like how Jericho is doing the different versions of Jericho now. And the Lionheart.
Lionheart's one of my favorite. We had the Japan Jericho when he came out in his spiked jacket and his painted face. That's Japan Jericho right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you look in the background, I pointed out the Tron in the background was showing matches from him back in the day in Japan. Yeah. So I was like, check that out. They're actually, you know, different music. You know, they did that right. They're given this feeling of Jericho being all these different personas with different music and different backing vignettes. Almost like a Mick Foley thing, but with totally different gimmicks. Not funny, not trying to be funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just trying to be serious.
Mm-hmm. I totally get it.
It's cool. It's like the look back on The Undertaker when you see all the different versions of Undertaker there was.
Uncountable.
I remember listening to an interview with Jericho back when Undertaker was the American Badass, and he described Undertaker as the Madonna of WWE, as in, like, he could change his persona on the flip. And it still be Undertaker, but just a different version.
He could evolve. They said that in his own little thing, right? Last Ride. They said the same thing. The man was a chameleon. He could evolve.
That's kind of the one thing Jericho's doing well now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going through all the different characters and stuff. That's kind of cool. If I see Jericho, that's how I want to see Jericho.
Yeah.
So
cool. I like it.
It was a blood match again, but it wasn't like 5-on-5. You actually had two guys wrestling for a title. You know what I mean?
Right.
Until the last little bit of the match when everybody came down and then Punk's music was played and everybody just went, oh!
Yeah, well, that was the big setup for Punk. Yeah, that was the big setup.
Yeah.
And I guess I could see putting Jericho against Moxley in the main. Just because people would tune in long enough to see the CM Punk return. You know what I mean? But it just seems like a pay-per-view match to me. I don't know. Have him face Jack Swagger or whatever he's called now.
Oh, God. Haggard.
Haggard.
Haggard's a pot.
Just call him Haggard.
Who cares? Who cares?
You want to talk about wrestlers from the Attitude Era that are potheads? Does anybody follow Val Venus? Val Venus?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's got his own shop now. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pot maniac, that guy.
The second we became legal, he was there. He was like, yeah,
he's
I'm opening my own shop. Yeah, I'm in California.
Sean Morley putting together a business plan.
Yeah, it's just weed. I mean, like, Orton, well, we all know Riddle smokes weed, okay? It's just a fine in the WWE now. It's not illegal anymore. You're allowed to use it for pain. And, I mean, it was funny. Riddle, you could tell Riddle was high. And Orton grabs the mic and says, well, Riddle's not the only one that bakes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, whoa! Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's like the stuff they used to do.
And
with
you can
RVD.
Tell he was high. You can tell he was high.
Yeah, they used to do that stuff. RVD. I watched an interview with them after this last run. And they were like, well, RVD, how often were you high in the ring? He's like, ECW or WWE? They're like, both. He's like, the first run or the last run? They're like, both.
Oh, man.
And he's like, well, if you count the last run, then it was probably only 95% of the time.
Only. Yeah.
Meaning, earlier in his career, it was much more.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the new Jack of Weed. Like,
He was on the cover of High Times. When he was in ECW, he was on the cover of High Times. He's the Cheech and Chong of the wrestling team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he have his own rolling papers and stuff, too?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. That's somebody we need to book around here. We got smoke shops.
You want to smoke some weed with RVD, don't you?
Yep. Smoke shop. Mephisto has.
Yeah.
Or was it Sabu? It might have been both of them. It might have been Sabu. I'm not sure, but like him and Mephisto and Diamond Cutter caught up with them after a signing or a show or something, and they were like, "Hey, you got any weed?" They're like, "Sure." So they sat and smoked.
Oh yeah.
Oh geez.
I've been outside of a venue and guys come out after their match to smoke a joint. Okay. I'm medicating, or it was a good match. I'm celebrating, or I'm just smoking a joint.
Well, man, it goes this far back. Freedom even said Frenchie Martin asked him if he had weed when he first met him in WWE. Frenchie Martin. Could you imagine Frenchie Martin with that French-Canadian accent?
See, you weren't with us. You weren't with us when we used to get Sam Houston on all the time when the old man was still around. And he told a story about Harley Race, rolled one as thick as his thumb, and probably about I don't know how long, but sounds like a big one. And he just went, he was drunk, he was high, he was beating up everybody up in the bar. Sam Houston and Jake the Snake decided they were going to hide underneath a table, and just Harley Race terrorized the whole entire bar, and the owner came and said, you know what, if you don't come out from underneath the table, I'm telling them where you are.
No, Harley in his prime was a legit badass.
Yeah.
He was a stretcher. You know, and if for Jericho, even though Jericho, I don't think in most eyes, is viewed as a guy who stretches people, they did a good job of putting a lot of submission holds in there for Jericho.
Yes.
A lot of different style ones. He was very original. You know, probably stuff he learned in Japan and Mexico.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of those submissions. So
not
it was cool
that,
to see him do it.
Not only that, you got to remember, he was with Stu. He was with Stu Hart, enough said. Okay? Owen can tell you, if Owen was still around, he'd be telling you, look, I had nightmares of my dad stretching guys in the dungeon. You know, like, you could hear them. You could hear them screaming from the living room. Like, it was coming up from through the floorboards. Oh,
yep.
My God.
Yep.
And, you know, like, sure, padding will give you a little bit of silence, but not enough. If you're
well, I mean, even all the way to when I broke in the early 90s, mid-90s, yeah. whatever, I mean, that was still a thing, stretching guys. If they didn't have respect, you'd stretch them. You know what yeah. I mean? I even mentioned with Beast, when you're talking about Beast, I mean, Wild Child was becoming Wild Child was becoming a problem in back, and Tim put him with Beast and said, Beast, lay into him. It's a hardcore match. Do your thing. Yep, yeah. do your thing. Well, with Beast, it's less stretching and more like pounding.
there's that too. I mean, I can remember when the old man was alive, him telling me, did you watch that match last night? That is, you know, that's the goodbye match, right? I'm like, okay. Well, did you watch how they beat him? He said, yeah, he got beat out. I said, that just says a lot.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just says too much to me. It's like, you didn't appreciate him a lot, or why are you leaving, or screw you, get out.
Ali's probably on his way out, but I'm surprised at least they're making him look good in the matches.
Right.
If you remember when Mox left, Mox was always getting brutalized at the end of every match. That doesn't happen, at least to Mustafa Ali. You know what I mean? He hit the 450 perfectly into a Styles clash. It was a good ending. He lost the match, but they gave him a lot in the match.
I like Mustafa. I really do. I like Mustafa Ali a lot. And I wish
he trained. He trained a lot of guys in Dreamwave. Joey Hegland was trained by him. So, and I mean, Joey and I still stay in contact.
That's good.
So.
Oh, man. You can tell. Another thing that I love, too, is when you get to see best friends in the ring and they don't like each other. Like, past the curtain, they're enemies. Beyond the curtain, they're best friends.
Well, what's really funny about that,
or when they really hate each other, like you can tell, it's just a hell of a match.
Like Sean and Brett, magic in the ring, but hated each other in real life.
Yeah,
and then and Brett's Sunny Days promo when he said, "I know Brett, you've been having sunny days," meaning he was having sex with Sonny, even though he was married.
Oh, gosh. Oh, God.
He said that on national TV. Remember, Brett was not happy about that.
I guess not. I wouldn't be happy about it either. Oh, my.
Sean was sleeping with Sonny. Sean wanted to buy a house for Sonny and get her to leave Chris Candido. So.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow.
So that's a whole thing, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now she kills old men in cars.
Yeah.
Oh, how her career has changed.
Yeah. Showing herself on Skype for money. Like.
Yep, all kinds of stuff. Didn't she do a porno called Sunny Side Up or something?
I think so.
It was something witty like that.
I haven't seen it. Didn't look at it.
Well, I haven't seen it, but I know it exists.
Yeah. Well, the path she's taking, I'm not surprised if it exists.
Well, my understanding, it does exist. I don't know, man. I'm not gonna pay $50 for DVD to see it. You know what I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Or subscribe to some website to see it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
They do exist.
Hey, Tammy and Tommy, look how we got to watch that, okay? A lot of us for free, some of us rented it, some of us bought it, whatever, okay? don't even go there with people showing their manhood. Oh, my God, my friend says, did you see what Tommy Lee put on his Instagram today? Full Monty. The guy's member is as big as a baby's arm. I'm like, good morning.
I knew that because I saw the Tommy Lee Pamela footage. That shit was viral. That was everywhere.
But I'm talking about this morning. One of my friends said, did you see this? Tommy Lee posted this on his Instagram. Full Monty. Everything he owns. Okay? Everything. And I'm just looking at the guy going, okay, it's nice to know that everything is tattooed, but that's not tattooed. That's a baby's arm. Exactly what I said to my friend. That's a holy horse. You should have heard me. I was just like, good morning. Why do you think I didn't need any coffee? I didn't need any caffeine this morning. That's why.
Oh, Lord.
It's bigger than his legs. His legs are skinny.
Oh, God.
Oh dear God. Can we move off of this?
Yeah. I never
technically moved on to it, yeah. So.
Yeah. I either move on or I'm showing pictures. Next.
Yeah, move on.
Next.
You all suck.
Sinful post.
All right. Are we ready to talk about some AEW?
Please.
Sure. Do you want to go down the matches in order?
Yes.
Okay. They started off hot.
Do you have your notes?
I've got them memorized. I was pretty dialed in last night.
We opened with Brody King against Darby Allin in the coffin match.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That was a match and a half.
And they had to try to have Darby go over on him somehow. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess putting the casket on the floor and setting up a spot where he kind of literally falls into it himself is the best way to do it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because otherwise it's not believable he drags him there, you know?
The way he did it was, the way it was done was beautiful.
Yeah, they couldn't have.
Yeah, choke him out with the chain. He stumbles. He comes off the ring, rolls off the apron into the coffin, and with the momentum of him rolling into the coffin shuts.
But
Sting, when he opened the coffin, and Sting was there. That was pretty cool. And Sting's Aleister Black came down, and Sting's eye makeup was looked like he had been that Aleister Black had spit in his face, like spit in his eye.
It looked better than it looked when he actually did it, because he barely got any mist on him.
Yeah.
Hey, that's one thing I know. I know how to spit mist. I've been doing it longer than Aleister.
Well, if we meet, you're going to teach me.
I kid you not, a young training me got out in the porch and was trying all different mixtures of green fluids and how to spew them correctly so it would spray them out.
Yeah.
I was doing it off my porch just to try to get it right.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, if this is my gimmick, I got to be able to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was a good match. It was awfully bloody.
It was
what it was. It was a casket match. Usually you save those for the end of the night or pay-per-view, but...
Yeah.
Darby needed to win on him because he's just really made Darby look like he's
nothing.
He exposed him as like a small nothing guy. So they need to do that. What do you guys think of Luchasaurus on his own as a side note?
Oh, I love Luch. So you know I love him on his own. Okay, I want to know what they're going to do with Jungle Boy or if they're going to bring them back together. Or whatnot. I'm really loving the Chris Cage and Lucha. And I love Lucha.
I've always loved Lucha. I think this is a good way to bring them apart. I mean, they're still together, but not to have them like be title contenders or anything. I like what they're doing with Luchasaurus. Somebody got in his ear and told him, hey, don't flip and flop around. Be a big man. You know, destroy people.
Yeah.
I like that version of him, the headbutts, the Glasgow-like headbutts are really good.
Out of nowhere, smash. I was just like,
the first person I ever seen do it was Drew McIntyre like that, and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
It looked like he killed him.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Not impressed with Jungle Boy's promos. Not yet. I don't think he's quite there yet.
He's trying.
He's getting there. But then when you have Jungle Boy say something and every time you cut him off at the end and Christian Cage buries him because he's got way more experience on the mic.
Yeah. Not
they put him in a tough spot. You know what I mean? Christian Cage has always been good on the mic and Mm-hmm. You know, Jungle Boy's, how old is Jungle Boy? 24, maybe?
About that. Looks about 24.
Yeah, I mean, so. Yeah.
He's still young.
Yeah, he's got a tough mountain to climb when he's throwing barbs with a guy like Christian.
Well, he could be where Dinosaur Jr. is, nowhere. But, yeah, I mean, being with Looch is good, but Looch is awesome on his own.
Yeah,
Looch
kind of needs to – I like Luchasaurus more as this big monster black mask kind of guy.
Yes.
I think this version of him is better, whether he's heel or face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just more aggressive. Just his whole style is different. I like it more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love Luchasaurus. I've been watching Luchasaurus. I mean, I got mad when I can't remember who did it, but they cut off his horns. That pissed me off. Sure, he came back with a new mask and everything else. But now his mouth, not just his tongue, his mouth is black.
Yeah.
So that too. I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him miss somebody. I really would.
Yeah, Alistair's kind of got that cornered right now, though.
Yeah, I know. But,
God, I mean, if they were to turn Luchasaurus heel, wouldn't he fit the House of Black so well?
yes, he would. I agree.
He would. I mean, I could see the House of Black renaming him from Luchasaurus to something that sounds like, just like, you know, way more evil and have it be him.
Yeah. That's something. I can't think of what they call him, but I hope they keep the Saurus.
Yeah. They could have him. I knew a wrestler back in the day. His wrestling name was T-Rex, and then they changed it to Rex Hart because he looked like Hearts. He looks exactly like Brett, but bigger. But,
Wow. That's saying a lot. What are you giggling at?
I'm just thinking about the rest of AEW last night. It was different. I'm getting the results. Leave me alone, woman.
I will not.
It was the quake by the lake. Boy, did we feel the quake by the lake.
Okay.
Then we got, wait, yes. We got the Lucha Brothers against Rush and Andrade El Idolo. Why did Andrade wrestle in a shirt?
I do not know. I understand that. I mean, like Rush has long hair. He was wearing straight white pants. Andrade has shorter hair and was wearing white pants with black pinstripes. Okay, they basically looked almost identical when they came down. The masks were superb. I love Rush's mask. I've loved Rush for a while. So I've loved him since his ROH. So that's, you know, watching them on AEW is a treat. It really is. It's a treat.
All right. Then you had, let's go back up here. You had Aaron Solo against Absolute Ricky Starks. I love Ricky Starks. I love Ricky Starks.
Yeah. Yeah, and Hobbs reacted last night.
And then we had to watch that Jade Cargill flop around the ring like a fish with Madison Rain.
It's nice to see Madison Rain on AEW.
It is. I will agree with you on that, but she can't even teach this Jade Cargill. Like, Finn and I were sitting here last night comparing notes, and I'm like, look, she's calling spots. She blew that spot.
Yep, I agree. And what
Speaking
the hell
of Finn,
was she wearing?
Sorry about that, Finn. No, the VPN. I have a VPN, and it booted me. So that's what happened there.
Did you want to say anything about the tag team match with the Penta and them and Roosh and Andrade El Idolo?
I wish he wouldn't unmask them. I like the ending. I wish he would have left the mask on and they would have taken the pinfall because he wouldn't unmask. I hate the fact they lost anyway and he got unmasked. You know, it's...
That's I mean, Penta's getting unmasked here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, okay. I'm not a big fan of that.
They unmask him on AEW more than once. They unmask him on Impact, you know? And it's just like, and we actually got to see his face. Sure, it was painted, but we got to see his face.
Yeah.
And see how young he is. I took him for an older wrestler. I'm sorry, but not by his moves, just by the love of the crowd. That's it. But
he wrestles like an older wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has. Devastating moves and stuff. He's more of a stylized like somebody you'd see from the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I was surprised too.
We had Ricky Starks against Aaron Solo. I love Ricky Starks. He's so talented.
I know. Well, you said so.
Everything did it for him. That was the way to lose the world title. You know what I mean? That was the way to lose it. To Hook and to shake his hand at the end because they train together. Well, they train together. So to shake his hand, you know, and turn him face, that was the right call.
Yeah.
All right. And then you had Jade Cargill against Madison Rayne. And as I was telling Katie, we were sitting here last night pointing out all the spots that Jade Cargill blue in this match. It doesn't even seem like Madison Rayne can get this girl.
I will say it's her best match she's had so far that I've seen. I'm sure a lot of that had to do with Madison. And I did notice a couple spots where I said to you, hey, look where she miscalled this. But, you know, that happened in an AJ Styles match last week, too. So, I mean, that shit happens. You know, so, I mean, at least she made it look like she knew how to reverse moves and could wrestle. Obviously, they probably walked through the match multiple times before it ever happened because it was kind of smooth for one of her matches. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, there were still some mistakes, but... least it was better than usual. you know, I guess the best way to put it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like that thing. You want to be the person that says, I elevate the title. The title doesn't elevate me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And in her case, it's the title kind of is what makes her special in the winning streak. You know,
right.
She's not really elevating the title any. She's not elevating the title any by being the champion.
I'm going to agree with you. She needs to do better.
Well, the U.S. title... they made the U.S. title seem like the greatest thing in the world when they did the WWF thing where they were doing that whole Raw where they're just showing the history of the U.S. title and about this guy having it and what it meant to Booker T. And you know what I mean? That was cool. That Triple H went out and was like, let's, you know, wasn't Harley Race was the first U.S. champion, wasn't he?
Right.
Yeah, and we all know that Triple H's favorite wrestler was like Harley Race when he was, you know, learning. I mean, that's why he used to use that high knee to the face and some of his other moves. He was just a Harley Race fan. So, yeah, that's what I found exciting about it, you know.
Yes, it was very good. We're going to take our caller, Billy. Billy, what did you think?
Yeah, what are you saying? Did you have a chance to watch it?
If you're talking about AEW, yeah, I did. And
good.
Frankly, I loved it when Sting came out of the fucking casket. It reminded me of the good old days of when Undertaker came out, you know?
Yeah. Just watch
yep.
the F-bomb.
Hence why I said that was the Stinger Taker.
Stinger Taker.
Yep. Stinger Taker, because that's me.
You know, Sting's had, you know, we talked about the changes over the years. Sting, you think about it, originally he was like a road warrior when he was tagging
mm-hmm.
with Ultimate Warrior. Then he went on to be Sting with the face paint, beach, blonde hair guy.
Yeah.
Then
like
he went on to be. Then he went on to be the Crow Sting. And then he was the Joker Sting for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now he's got a new version of Sting.
Then he briefly did the Darby Allin and Sting Siamese twin paint, basically.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's been multiple kinds of Sting. That's kind of cool.
Oh, actually, there's one you forgot to mention. When he was in the Wolfpack, he switched from black and white to black and red.
Red,
yeah.
Yeah,
black and
red.
I hated it.
That was cool.
Oh, what? No, it
oh,
wasn't.
I,
it looked like,
you know,
no.
You know
it
what
looked
it looked like?
Shit.
You know what it
like
looked
shit?
Like to me? It looked like Muda, the fabulous Muda.
Oh, great Muda, yeah.
Or the great Muda, where he would either do green face with black eyes or red face
okay.
with black eyes. That's what it reminded me of.
Or white and red, or white face with red streaks and black eyes.
Yeah, it was always like some variation
see,
of the
something
white,
like
red.
That.
Yeah.
Something like that. I didn't like Sting's makeup. I liked black and red. That's one of my favorite color combinations of all time. And I just thought there was more that he could have done with it. I never liked the black and red together on him.
All I know is I grew up watching Sting in the 90s when he was in WCW. I didn't get to see the Surfer Sting, unfortunately, until years later when I found YouTube. He was already the Crow by the time I started watching, but
okay.
Oh, my word. Probably one of the most badass wrestlers I ever saw in the ring. When WCW folded, I was left wondering, what the hell happened to Sting? And then they advertised him on TNA, you know? I'm like, wait, no, it can't be, because I saw the Scorpion logo. And then I saw him, and that was when I started watching Impact.
Okay.
You know, then he was gone. Then he came to WWE, much to my shock and awe. That was a fucking fiasco in the end, though, because of how they used him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like how he was used. Not at all.
I really
like,
think he would have got it.
It's like they told him, lie down. Just lie down.
I really think he would have got a title run if he wouldn't have got hurt by Seth.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started on Rollins. But then,
like I said, lie down. They told him to lie down.
Basically, yeah, in the Triple H match.
But then AEW came along, and Auntie Kate was there to witness the whole fucking thing.
Watch
the lights
your
went
F-bomb.
Out.
Watch
I mean, sorry.
F-bomb.
Sorry, the whole thing. Sorry about my language. That slipped.
Fine.
I saw the whole. She saw the whole reaction. You know, when the lights went out, I was like, wait, what the? And then I saw the letters. Then I saw the letters forming, and my mouth fell open, literally. And I was like, no way.
See, the
and
one
then
that...
the Scorpion logo, and I was still, you know, petrified with shock. And then out came Sting, and the next thing she saw was me jumping up and down, hooting and hollering like a kid.
See, the biggest surprise lately had to be, in recent history, had to be when I was watching the Royal Rumble, and it's like, wait, who's coming out? T1. I'm like, oh my God, AJ Styles is in WWE.
Yeah.
Because I remember just thinking, all I remembered
AJ
remember from was Impact. Yeah, how he comes in with the head down, with the hood.
It's about time. I was supposed to be here 15 years ago. It's about time.
The only guy they let Helms do a vertebraker on in WWE.
Wow.
When he was the superhero gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to take a vertebraker.
I'm just glad they dropped the house that AJ built part because I thought that was a little ridiculous.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah,
you, because
yes,
it's not the house that AJ built. He wasn't the face that ran the place. The house, the person who built the house because of SmackDown was The Rock, you douche canoe. Come on. I hated it.
If you want to get technical, it was the house that Vince Sr. built.
It was about who made SmackDown. SmackDown was created for the Rock. Lay up the Smack us down.
Oh, right.
Well,
Rock
always says this is. Yeah, Rock even came out on the mic when he came out on SmackDown. He's like, the Rock Show, the People Show. You know what I mean? He referred to it as his show.
Millions.
Of course, the millions and millions. Oh, by the way, Pat McAfee, when he kept replaying that ball shot on, what was it, Raw? He's like, they're doing the football thing. Oh, my God. And he's like, here's stupid Kurt Corbin knocking down the ref. Now, you see, I'm looking over here, and he's, like, drawing on the board. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, this is my moment. Now, this ball has made millions, or this one has made millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, Jesus.
Take that, Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, my favorite kicker of all time, without a doubt, though, Pat McAfee. I was so happy when he joined WWE. I'm a huge football nerd, so.
Yeah, I'm not really a footballer myself, but I do recognize when some of the wrestlers used to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I saw a
That queef, the tribal queef has even been a football player, okay?
So was
Ron Simmons at one point.
Yep. First black heavyweight champion, former standout football player.
And his catchphrase is so iconic, he only has to say one word.
Yep.
Damn.
Have you ever seen the footage of where Rob Van Dam's? He's like, and I'm Rob Van, and like Simmons just comes in the picture and he goes, damn!
I didn't see that one, but it sounds like it's funny. I laughed my ass off. I don't know who recorded that, but... Personally, my favorite Ron moment was when the voicemail on the phone is going, hello, I know you're there, pick up the phone, answer me. Ron sits down beside it, damn! Yells right into it.
My favorite Ron Simmons moment is when him and Bradshaw beat the crap out of Public Enemy. But it's like when they whispered to Bradshaw, and then Bradshaw, I guess, turns around to Simmons, and he's like, Simmons is like, what'd they say? They said they don't want to do the table spot at the end. Well, then I guess we're going to make them do the table spot at the end. And Bradshaw's like, okay.
The APA.
Boys, all three of you, we are now officially into overtime.
Oh, are we?
Yes. Yes. All right.
Heck.
I got on late. It doesn't count.
I hear you, but we're not doing an all nighter, okay? We're just not doing it. No. Not again.
Oh man, sometimes all nighters are the best nighters.
Yeah, but there's times when you guys keep me on here for 3 hours straight, and I'm like, what the hell? We use up all
the
time.
Katie, do you remember the shows with the old man that were 5 hours long?
Oh, my God.
And we'd have, like, 3 or 4 guests, and by the time the last guest would come on, Katie would be like, I have nothing left.
I'm done.
Is Freedom next week? Freedom's next week, correct?
Freedom is the 25th. What?
The 25th. Okay. I wanted to make sure. 2 weeks. Don't miss that one, guys. Yes.
When's the Beardhausen match again? Because I'm really looking forward to that one. I mean, it's every day we get to see Eric Redbeard in the ring, you know?
Oh, yeah. Eric the Red and Danhausen.
I think that's Friday on the internet show.
Yeah.
No, that's on the other show on Fridays.
Oh, is it on TNT or whatever?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, Rampage. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not watched a single episode of that. I'm a horrible fan.
You should. Practically all the legends are over there now.
Yeah, that's what I would like, I really think. I like their dark show, too.
Yeah, Dark and Elevation.
I've never watched Elevation or Dark. I'm sorry. I just haven't.
All right.
You really
well, here's
see some of the less used talent.
Hold on. Let Sean get through. All right.
Oh, sorry.
Come on, Sean. Come on, Sean.
I would say that the only big match that we have leading into this pay-per-view here in a couple weeks from AEW at this point now is going to be the Punk and Moxley. Because I spoiled it the other day. I said, look, I think that in terms of what they're going to do with Kenny Omega, Kenny Omega is going to be a part of that six-man tag belt thing.
Yeah, exactly, probably. Which is a cheap way for the Young Bucks to get out of wrestling FTR. It's really
correct.
Stupid.
Correct.
Personally, one of my favorite talents, you know, besides Sting and the other wrestling veterans that are there, I will admit I actually like Abaddon.
Yeah,
I love Abaddon.
Big fan of Abaddon. I like her. I just find she tries to be a little too much like Rosemary.
Yeah.
I wish that, you know, I was able to watch more of her matches.
I miss
well.
The days of her with Crazy Steve and Abyss.
Yes.
That was some of their best stuff. They're like all of them. They all just really stood out in that that group. And what was that group called?
Decay.
I remember as
Decay.
I was watching it, I was like, when the Bray Wyatt thing built up, I'm like, they need to get the chick from Decay.
Yeah.
The chick
too
from
little,
Decay
late,
is Rosemary. Hey,
I know,
Rosemary.
I know her name.
Hey. You're going to learn something just now, little man. I am a huge Rosemary fan. I may have not been around for Decay, but I have had a chance to watch it, and I do enjoy it, and I do agree with you that it was some of her best shit. But I'll tell you straight up, I've met Rosemary. I've met her three times.
I love that woman.
Yeah, I love that woman, okay? You don't even know. Like, she got me through my cancer. To see her every week, she got me through my cancer.
That's cool.
To be able to draw back from my meetings and take all the good that I got from my meeting, the three meetings of her, that got me through. She is a talent. Yeah, she does have a knee brace, and some people don't think that she should still be fighting, but she is. I love her.
She's a warrior.
I love her, especially with Sexy Star, like the whole conflict with Sexy Star, like almost breaking her arm.
Yeah.
Rosemary freaked out, went right online and said, "You're an asshole." There's a work, and she was warned. She said she doesn't like American wrestlers, and she stretches American wrestlers, okay, and she injures them purposely, and that's what she did to Rosemary. Put her in an arm bar, dragged it too far, and yeah.
My God.
Yep.
Well, that's why Vader never made it in the Fed, because Shawn Michaels made sure he was buried. After he wrestled them, he didn't like Vader laying that stuff in. Sean didn't want any part of that.
Yeah, well, you can't bury Rosemary. Rosemary's awesome.
Yeah, Cassidy's pretty good, too. I mean, how many people can move the way they do with their hands still in their pocket?
I just hate the gimmick.
Orange Cassidy?
I hate it so bad.
He's funny, too.
I don't mind him kicking up people's shins and sizes of shins, like basically calf muscles. I don't mind.
I just want to see him get like beat by like Brody Lee or so, or what's his name,
Wardlow, dude
from Wardlow. Or like a heel or something, just beat the crap out of him. Or Luchasaurus. Yep. I don't care. I'd love to see Orange just walk in and kick Luchasaurus in the legs. Luchasaurus just pick him up and choke slam him through the ground.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, Luchasaurus shows you his big black mouth, lets out a roar, and just obliterates him.
I personally loved it when he and Sting did the back and forth gentle kick, and then Sting did the half-hearted chest beat. That was hilarious.
I just think Orange could get over so much more as a heel, because the gimmick's so bizarre that if he was a heel, like just barely tap kicking and stuff. That gives the face the perfect opportunity to like be like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? It's almost like an insult.
Yep.
I think he does better just screwing with everybody, if you know what I mean. He screws with both the faces and the heels.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I don't know. I'm lukewarm on its gimmick. I don't know what it is. It's not something that I get super excited about. I don't get his gimmick. But I didn't get Danhausen, and now I love the guy, so.
Yeah. He cracks me up.
Danhausen is just fucking hilarious.
Oh, he's like, free kids. This must be where he gets his powers.
Yes. It's almost like watching some kids' television show for that brief moment when Danhausen's on. Because he's so childlike. You're like, oh my God, it's so good. It's so not.
Imagine him in Bray Wyatt's Playhouse.
If Danhausen would have show up and oh God, I would die. If Triple H could pull that off, I'd be like, okay, he's on the right track.
Yep.
Like have Bray Wyatt just cutting a promo in the house one day and then Danhausen walking in the background just looking around. Hey, this place is pretty cool. You know?
Right.
When are we going to see the Demon Finn Balor, by the way? Well, we're talking about alternate characters. I mean, he's in an evil, grouping now. Well, I'm going to see the demon.
The demon is going to return at the next pay-per-view, whatever, the Clash at the Castle.
Where we're all supposed to think they're actually going to put him over with the Claymore just because it's at a castle.
It's a castle.
Does this castle belong to Eureka?
No. It's like the Princess Bride. Have fun storming the castle.
Yeah.
Well, if it's the Princess Bride, they need Andre.
Yeah, Big Show won't cut it.
No, sadly.
I keep telling you, they need a moat match.
Yeah, moat match. There you go.
Oh God, seeing two muscled men all nice and wet thrashing around in the water. Okay, stop me now.
Well, you're the one that saw Tommy Lee's baby arm.
I don't want to see it again. I'm scared. Don't even.
Tommy Lee scares girls.
Okay.
But yeah.
One at a time.
Sorry.
Go ahead. You're fine. Go ahead.
Half the time I find myself drawn more in towards the silly wrestlers lately, like every time I watched Ring of Honor, I was hoping against hope to see Delirious get in the ring because he was a nut to watch, you know?
Yeah. I can understand that.
I mean, it's not like we have really, there's not really much variety in the WWE anymore, so half the time you're hoping for something silly to happen.
Yeah, or something outlandish, or something like, oh my God, you know? Like
Brock Lesnar flipping over a ring.
That was epic.
Oh my God. Coming out with a friggin' tractor, and tractor all of a sudden.
His personal tractor at that.
Yeah.
Jim Cornette, I said this last time, Jim Cornette summed that match up perfectly. Jim Cornette said, that was one of the worst title matches I've ever seen, but it's exactly what WWE needed to do.
Right.
He's like, it was gimmicky, it was over the top. He's like, they didn't wrestle at all, really. They barely did any wrestling moves. And he said it wasn't in the ring, but he's like, they got the eyes on him, you know?
Yeah, they got the pop.
Yeah, they got the pop.
Especially when Brock's machine came underneath the corners of the ring and just raised it and got to see everything underneath me. Okay, we talked about this before. That's almost breaking kayfabe. You know, it's one thing that we know that they drag out tables, chairs, and other things and bags of tacks and stuff from underneath the ring, but the fans should never see underneath the ring. It's bad enough that sometimes the padding gets pulled back for effect. You know, that's bad enough. But,
right.
You know, it was cool for what it was, but I'm thinking like the old man, shouldn't have shown the underside of the ring.
Well, they switched. They switch canvases multiple times on a pay-per-view.
Yep.
I've been to them.
Yep.
So, I mean, the canvases
up.
Are under the ring. You could see the canvases folded up under there.
Yeah, sometimes they're folded up. Sometimes they're piled on top of each other. So they just whip, bam, boom.
Did anybody else wonder why they didn't have their typical LED lights on the turnbuckles to begin with? Because that's what I questioned. I saw that.
I don't
and I was
like that.
Well, no, they took them off, so Brock could do that to the ring, man.
The LEDs. I don't like them.
On the ring post, the pixel port is what you're talking about, right?
I prefer
the old style ring posts, if you know what I mean.
I think
the whole
point to those is not just the look. The way it sounds when you hit somebody off of it sounds way worse than, like, it probably hurts a lot less than hitting a metal post.
It's a thwack crunch. It's a thwack and a crunch.
Yeah,
sound,
you
know?
Hear it, like, bend inward.
Crunch.
Ow.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I hit my foot.
I'm telling
why do
you.
Think, why do you think when somebody goes into them, especially shoulder or face first? Whoa!
Yeah, I used to take them on my shoulder and flip. I would like hit it with my shoulder and take a flip.
Yeah.
So I would be hitting the turn post. I'd be hitting the turn post. It was a Kurt Hennig thing I saw him do, and I'm a big Mr. Perfect fan. So I would take the corner turn post and then flip to my back. So I'm impacting, then I'm also getting knocked over.
Yeah.
It's not a fun bump to take, but it looks good.
No, it doesn't look like a fun bump to take. But Sin likes it when it's not fun, so it's okay.
It is.
Half the bumps I see them take make me flinch.
Oh my god. Some of the guys out there are crazy.
Then they're doing their job. It's like when the old man was alive and it doesn't matter who it was. It doesn't matter the name or anything. I'm not even going to pick a name. If I was just going to say, you know what? I really don't like them. I hate them. You know, I got a real serious hate on for them. And she would be like, then they're doing their job. Katie, they're doing their job. And they did it right.
Yep.
They got you.
Austin Theories is perfect.
Yeah, they got you. They hooked you. Big bam boom. Yeah, I don't like Austin Theory.
See, and that's perfect.
No,
yeah.
He's doing his job.
See?
Guys. He's
doing
his job.
That's
right.
The thing. He was Vince's boy. Vince is gone, and it's Triple H. Is Triple H going to give him the same favor?
I don't know. I mean,
He wasted his money in the bank cash in.
No, because he didn't cash it in. Brock stopped him from doing
it. He said he cashed it in. I could have sworn that was that. I thought they were pulling a freaking Corbin. Remember, they made Corbin basically give up his money in the bank shot? He lost it?
Well,
it's not very often that happens.
It all started with Kennedy, and that's because Kennedy got hurt.
Kennedy.
Yeah, Kennedy.
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 I'm surprised you didn't flatten that briefcase from that F5.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Here's a funny but not so funny. I mean, don't get high before a funeral, okay? Just don't do it because you'll be stupid. And I was stupid, all dressed in black lace. And since they mentioned that because I was at a friend's funeral, he was a huge wrestling fan, friend of my friend Bernadette. Bernadette used to come on her show all the time. And she got to do his – she eulogized him. And she mentioned one time when they went to see – Kennedy when he had turned to Anderson, and that about 5 seconds after she said Anderson, I went, I'm in the back going, Anderson. Nobody said a word, and nobody looked, nobody did nothing, and then my husband's just looking at me going, uh-oh, no, that failed. Epic, totally epic.
I wish I could have seen that.
I'm dressed in perfect black lace. Perfect black lace. It's cut my hands to my mouth.
Anderson.
I have a question.
Sure.
About the last pay-per-view. Is it just
okay.
me, or did Brock Lesnar look red as a tomato?
Oh.
Might have been trying to tan up for the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And didn't make it there in time, so he's just kind of a little bit burnt. Brock,
yeah.
in general, really kind of... He's very pale, and he kind of looks burnt, I think, more when he's tan. I don't remember Brock, other than the early years, being really tan.
Yeah. Well, some people burn. My stepfather burns when he uses a tanning machine. My mom told me, because I'm tissue paper, right? My mom told me, don't you dare. I don't care. Not even 15 minutes. Don't do it. So I decided not to do it. Because I'll go tomato red. I go tomato red if I burn. I stay out of the sun.
When I was doing my sin gimmick when I was in better shape and I was showing off more parts of my body, I would use a tanning booth. So, nair in a tanning booth. You want to know what wrestlers do? They nair themselves and use tanning booths. That's to get the look, as they say.
And the one thing, too, you know, with the muscles comes the oil, and then comes the slipperiness.
That
they do it to remain slippery?
No, the oil thing's really weird because a lot of guys don't like it when you use it because you do become slippery. So that's really where you started seeing wrestlers in the late 90s switching to water. Like pouring water on their bodies to look to glisten and look bigger.
Yeah.
And Triple H would do it every time he came out. That was the whole point. Keeps his hair wet so it stays wet when he gets sweaty, so his hair doesn't fluff out. You know, his body's wet.
Yep.
Right.
Hey, Bret Hart. Bret Hart would wet his hair too, but he looked like a total greaseball when he did it. And they said so. There were signs for it and everything. Yeah.
Right.
They called him greaseball. I remember that, but yeah, he come down all shiny. he'd be so shiny. Yeah.
I still have my Brett sunglasses somewhere.
Oh, wicked. Yeah, he does. And yeah, you have the shirt too, don't you?
Yeah, but it doesn't fit me anymore. I need to get a bigger one.
it doesn't matter. Hey, dude, I keep things just in case I'm that size again, and
I still have it.
That's the clothes. I got my skinny clothes, my medium clothes, and my chubby clothes.
It's got the heart. It's got the pink letters, heart on top, foundation on the bottom, and it's got the skull in front of the heart with the wings,
mm-hmm.
with the missing tooth
mm-hmm.
and all that.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's okay, I guess, from being from Canada.
What?
Canada brought us some of the best wrestlers. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Bret Hart, Owen, Chris Benoit, whole bunch of greats.
And
wait, Chris
Luna Vachon, don't forget her.
Yeah, Luna.
Vachon, Mad Dog Vachon.
Obviously, guys, I was just
the entire Vachon family.
Yeah, I was shocked when Mad Dog showed up.
Jericho.
At that wicked show.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, watch yourself when it comes to Canadians, because I'm a Canadian.
That's why I said it. I was a tease.
Mr.
Hey, Sean, could you cue the song Blame Canada for me?
Oh, my God, you have it? Do you have it? I'll sing along. God,
even Canadians
yeah.
like that song.
You got to get the Robin Williams version, okay? When they did it for the awards show. Yeah, they did it for the awards show because South Park brought out a movie that year, right? And
yeah,
it was pretty funny.
Longer
it was time. It was pretty funny. It was pretty
all
funny.
Right.
Sean, I got to say this because you mentioned South Park. They're having the 25-year anniversary. I think it's this weekend. Yeah, they've been out for 25 freaking years.
Holy
25 Anna. Years. 25 years of my life. Oh, my God. I was only 24 when it came out. Oh, my God.
I need to start watching
now.
That show.
Hey, I watch it. I watch it now. I've watched all the new ones. I've watched everything.
Yeah.
I've been so preoccupied with Beavis and Butthead that I haven't gotten around to South Park.
I haven't gotten around to Beavis and Butthead. I've gotten around to the new movie. Yeah, Sean.
Oh, we're the reverse. Go figure.
Yeah. Sean and I talked about the movie before I went and saw it. Well, before I put it on the TV and saw it. He was a butthead to the universe. I'm not going to give anything away. I'm not doing it. But Sean says to me, I didn't grow up watching Beavis and Butthead. I did nothing for me. I found it really stupid. And I said, yeah, they're pretty stupid, and that's why people like them, right? But
yeah.
They did it mostly because they would be watching music videos, and they'd make fun of the music videos. And
right.
then the satire afterwards, right? So I was able to follow the movie, but Sean, it got a little stupid.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us here tonight.
Yay.
We will be back next week for Wrestling Authority Radio. Join us right back here on the Evolution Radio Network and follow us on the socials.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Get out of here.